Facebook is paying $19 billion in cash in stock for a company that works out of an unmarked office in Silicon Valley.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It is a straightforward piece of software that lets people exchange messages without added charges from the phone company. But WhatsApp is huge overseas and growing. Facebook stock is currently down 0.3% after the social media company said it is buying WhatsApp for $19 billion. WhatsApp, until now, has preferred to keep its corporate profile on the down low. Reporters who've been in to interview the 37-year-old founder, Jan Koum, would meet him at offices in California that didn't even have a sign out front. Marketplace's Queena Kim has more.
WhatsApp is one of the fastest-growing apps in history. Jalak Jobanputra, a venture capitalist at Future Perfect Ventures, says most of WhatsApp's growth is happening outside the U.S.
So the WhatsApp customer, especially in the emerging markets in places like India, are very young.
But she says in emerging markets, WhatsApp also appeals to people of all ages because it's basically free texting. Ben Schachter is an analyst at Macquarie, and he says Facebook's larger strategy is to have competing apps that cover all the ways we communicate on mobile. The problem is WhatsApp's path to making money is unclear.
It's very hard to justify the price tag, given the lack of revenue, given the lack of disclosures around the future monetization potential.
There's also the fact that WhatsApp doesn't collect data and has nixed advertising on its app. Facebook, which takes exact opposite tact, says it'll honor WhatsApp's roadmap, but Schachter suspects that'll change in the future. In San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
Checking some of the economy's vital signs this morning, the Consumer Price Index came out this morning, with consumer inflation in January up a 0.1%. The latest index of leading economic indicators is on the way in about 10 minutes. And on Thursdays, we catch up with Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So policymakers at the Federal Reserve in the last 24 hours released the minutes of their meeting from January. And investors have noted with interest some talk about when to raise interest rates.
Some within the Fed would like to raise interest rates as soon as the end of this year. They think the economy is going to be hot enough to want to cool things down by year end.
Now, these are the hawks. Do you think that'll actually happen?
No, unfortunately, I wish the economy was actually heating up that rapidly. It looks like inflation's going in the other directions. The concern within the Fed is that it gets too close to that zero line. The worst thing we want is deflation in an economy that really would like to see some warming trends, more ways than one, believe me, from Chicago.
Yeah, indeed. Now, there was a tiny bit of inflation in January. We just learned this morning that the Consumer Price Index was up a 0.1%.
A 0.1%, 1.6% from a year ago, below that Fed's 2% threshold, and you really did see the weather imprint on that inflation data. Of course, we know we're all paying more for our heating bills and natural gas, but the things that we had to shop for, like vehicles or clothing, fell in price.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you for this.
Thank you.
In West Africa, Ghana has been seen as a model of democracy and economic stability in the last two decades, but recently it's been rocked by several multi-million dollar scandals. The government there has taken some steps to address some of these issues, but there are questions about whether enough is being done. The BBC's Tomi Oladipo reports.
After a night spent in the barn, hundreds of guinea fowls run out with apparent glee into a fenced yard. They could have had thousands more companions here if a government project had been successful. Guinea fowls are indigenous to Ghana's northern regions, but here in the main town of Tamale, they're a good source of income for farmers.
Farmers drive policy. Policy is useless if it fails to address the needs of farmers.
Saeed Al-Hassan came home after more than 30 years in Canada to set up a farm that now includes guinea fowls. He feels the government made glaring errors in its attempts to boost production.
Within the guinea fowl industry, I know not of any project that the government has done for the common good. We are hoping that the government will engage with us to determine just what our needs are and what it can do for us. Then we take it from there. But until that dialogue takes place, I'm afraid we're just against the wind.
Not too far away, tiny shrubs dot a rather parched expanse of land. Here, the government spent millions of dollars planting trees. As with the guinea fowl scheme, the afforestation project had stunted growth, and the government was forced to bring it to a halt. Some observers think Ghana's image as a beacon of progress in Africa is at risk and must be salvaged. Franklin Kujo is from the think tank Imani Center.
I suspect that there must be every reason why the government should be interested in this particular matter. The economic governance of the country is not looking well at all. The corruption in this, we've not done well. We are losing to countries that are traditionally known to be corrupt. Not that we've overtaken them, but it looks as if we are inching closer and faster.
Ghana's economy is expected to perform well this year. Regardless of the figures, the government won't be let off the hook for as long as these tangible projects don't materialize.
That's the BBC's Tomi Oladipo reporting from Ghana. And back to the marketplace lead for another moment. It's always fun to watch social media when gobs of people think they've dreamed up the same joke at about the same time. This morning, it's endless variations on the following theme. Facebook just bought WhatsApp for $19 billion. Suckers, they could have downloaded it for free. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.